All right, you guys, welcome to another episode of your favorite Base Hits and Banter. I am one of your hosts, Sam Fisher, joined with the wonderful America's sweetheart, Haley McClenney. Good morning, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Buenos dias, good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
You know what? Rocking and rolling. Any day I get to have some face-to-face time with you, I think is good, even if it's through a computer.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, so we have such to discuss. This was a big weekend in the softball,
Yes.
and we just want to like get right into it because there's so much to unpack here. What a weekend. I think that if we pick a way to describe it in three words or less, it's like holy buckets.
It's holy
I
buckets. It's foaming at the mouth. It was
mean
upset central this weekend. Can I just read through these upsets that we
Please.
had this weekend?
I would
So,
love it.
in case you've been like Patrick Starr and living under an absolute rock, Louisiana beat Oklahoma in extra
That they
innings,
did.
7-5. Great game to watch. And Louisiana was pretty much in control of it the entire way. They
Yeah, they
really
were.
almost fumbled it at the very end there. And OU sent it to extras with their Sooner magic. But what a phenomenal game. South Alabama beat Alabama, much to my dismay, but
Course.
played one heck of a game in Tuscaloosa. Jacksonville beat Florida State.
Big one.
NC State took a game in their three-game series against Clemson. Weber State beat Texas A&M. San Diego State beat Missouri. Charlotte and Fordham beat Kentucky. Michigan, big shout out Amanda Chittister, friend of the program, beat Florida 10-2. Wasn't
Handedly.
close. Wasn't close.
Yeah.
South Dakota State beat Arkansas, and Cal and Stanford both got wins over Georgia. So, holy buckets. Many, many
Yeah.
upsets. Obviously, the Louisiana one stands out the most.
Yeah.
Were there any
Yeah.
other games that you were like, oh my gosh, like I did not expect this coming?
I think I'm probably just like everybody else with the how Oklahoma lost. But what's interesting is it was their opening weekend at their new field and they almost lost twice.
Yeah.
So, but man, that place, you see pictures? Oh, it's really nice. It
Beautiful.
looks so nice.
I don't hate that Oklahoma lost. I'm not going to say that
No.
because I do want to point out that like 71 games in a row
My
is
God.
absolutely insane. Like
Yeah.
unbelievable. In a sport like this weekend's a perfect example. Anybody can be beaten on any given day. So for them to
Yeah.
win 71 straight games, like a ton of respect.
Huge
But
testament. Yeah.
what an opportunity for women's sports, for Love's
It's
Field
huge.
to open to see all those fans there. We saw a ton of Sooner alumni in the stands. I saw
Yeah.
Kalen
Yeah.
Ricketts was there. You had Aaron
Yeah.
Miller and Nicole Mendez on the call. Like, amazing weekend for women's sports, just in general, to showcase the power of the product of OU
Yeah.
softball.
Yeah.
For them to almost lose twice, though, to Miami of Ohio, who can absolutely rake,
Yeah.
and Louisiana, it was just shocking. I don't know if that's the right word. I don't know if
Yeah.
OU, I don't know if their players maybe felt the pressure of opening that new stadium, if that had anything to do with it, but
Yeah.
very, very interesting to watch.
Well, you've got players who haven't lost in so long that I mean, I remember this was my first feeling going from being on LMU to being on Team USA is like, no, you go out when you go out on the field, you win the softball game. And I remember being like, what a world.
This is crazy.
You just go out and you just win.
Yeah.
My God. And you're expected to, you know, like, and they have that expectation, you know, from the top down. Like our softball team hits the field, they win the softball game. So I think obviously snapping a streak like that is such a big deal, but it's also, I think, really important. Like knowing how to lose and knowing how to come back from it. We talked in opening weekend about, you know, teams that like the upset Charlotte beat. Who did Charlotte beat in the first weekend? What is it, Florida
Florida
State?
State, yeah.
Yeah, Florida State lost to Charlotte, upset, and then the next day kicked their butt. So, like, learning how to lose, learning how to take it, learning how to then go out and say, okay, so what? Let's go out and let's win the next game. Like, nothing about this game is perfect, and we learn that every single day. So, like you said, I don't hate it. Like, it's cool to see the big, you know, somebody take down the, you know, David Goliath kind of thing,
Yeah.
but But yeah, I think that it's going to make Oklahoma better.
Yeah,
Which, how
which
did they
is
get, how, that's so
scary.
scary. That's so scary. Yeah.
Scary. Scary.
Yeah.
Well, I did hear Nicole Mendez and Aaron Miller both said it was going to be a long week of practice for the Sooners. So
Oh
I have a
boy.
feeling Coach Gasso is going to get them right. They did. It looked uncharacteristic though. They
Yeah.
made errors. They didn't look as polished
Yes.
on defense.
Yes.
And they didn't get like the big key hit when they needed to. And
Which they always do.
big shout out to Louisiana's pitcher. I mean, she threw the entire game.
Oh my gosh,
She took
yes.
punches when she needed to.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And I think that's a big key to an upset. And I wanted to get your take on this because in your career at LMU, you were very often that mid-major underdog that's going up to
Yeah.
play the UCLAs, the Washingtons, the Stanfords, like all of those really
Yeah.
big time teams. I think to pull off an upset like that, you have to have an extreme level of resilience because you
Yeah.
know Goliath is going to throw their punch and you've got to be able to stand there and take it and throw some punches back on your own. And
Yeah.
Louisiana did that. So I want to like take a little dive into what
Yeah.
you experienced at LMU to because there are a lot of kids out there that are constantly the underdog. Like, I just want to
Oh
know what that
yeah.
mentality is like.
Yeah, it's you know what's so funny? I this is actually a recent conversation that I had with my friend Jen Schroeder, friend of the game.
Oh, friend of the program for sure.
She I was having a hard time because I was feeling still as still the underdog. And I'm like, when am I gonna be not back against the ropes? Like, when am I
Yeah.
gonna feel like I'm finally in the ring? And she said, being the underdog is your superpower. And
Oh.
I know. I know. And I said, Jen, okay. And I, yeah, she's so right. So that coming from LMU, being the underdog, obviously taking a break of the underdog mentality playing for USA, but sticking to your stuff and sticking to what makes you at your program. We would go out there and play against the UCLAs, the Texas, the Tennessees, Arizona, and we'd be like, we're supposed to not win. Did we win? No, we didn't win any of those games. But knowing what makes you and makes you your program, like we were goofy, we were funny, we sang in the dugout, we did our thing. If we went out and tried to look like UCLA, went out and tried to warm up like Texas, like that, then we would have gotten our tushies handed to us on a platter. But then you see these games where these teams are competing the way that they compete, whether they come out on top or not, like Miami of Ohio giving Oklahoma an insanely good game opening night at their new stadium. Like they played ball the way that they play ball. If you try to play like Oklahoma, you will lose every day and twice on Sunday.
Correct.
So I think just accepting the mentality. I remember we got our butts kicked by UCLA my senior year, 24-2 people. I'll tell you the story later on in life, but I remember we were out there like, this is unbelievable to watch. They hit one solo home run. So 23 runs were just manufactured, hit single, double, single, double, single, double. And we're out there like, this is, I mean, look at what they're doing.
Gotta
And you can't
respect
be,
it.
exactly, you can't be mad about it because we are out there doing our best, giving our best. And I think that that's just what it comes down to when you pull off an upset is because you played like you, not because you played like them. God, that felt good to say.
Wow. I absolutely love that. And I think that's a good transition into our unnamed mental health section segment is staying true to
Yeah.
you, knowing exactly who you
Yeah.
are, leaning into maybe a struggle that you're having rather than resisting it can
Yeah.
really help you break out of a slump, which is this week's mental health topic. And I know we both struggled with slumps in our
Yeah.
careers. I think it's an inevitable part of the game. It's something that, hey, welcome to softball. Like you want to be like a true
Yeah.
ball player, that you're going to experience some slumps. So it's just part of the game. But I do think what you're talking about, leaning into exactly who you are, not resisting the struggle that comes, but embracing it and leaning into it is something that I know has helped me when I've been in slumps.
Yeah.
And it's something that we've talked a lot about as well in our journey
Yeah.
of playing the game.
Yeah, it's so true because there's that sometimes there's a cure and sometimes there's not a cure. Like sometimes your swing is there's something wrong and you go in and you fix it in the cage. But sometimes it just is and there might not be a solution and you just have to ride it out. And those I think those are the hardest slumps. Because if there's, I can remember my junior year at LMU, I was swinging at good pitches and missing them, and just there was just, but I became to a point where my poor bat, I'm like trying to snap it in half in the box because I'm just trying so hard to hit the ball and not even touching it, you know, and then learning that, okay, let's take a step back, let's ride the wave, and let's remember what got you in this box in the first place. And I think so much of slumps come down to the mentee part of
For
it.
sure.
And but so many things can people look at it to physical attributes where let's get in the cage and let's change something. Let's get out, let's get, you know, in the bullpen and change something. It's like, no, don't you dare.
Resist it.
Don't you dare.
Resist the urge to change your mechanics. I did this at Athletes Unlimited. We had a lot of conversations about my past season, just literally being in probably one of the biggest slumps, if you will, of my career. And it wasn't until like I finally broke out of it that I realized like how much of a just it was honestly purely mental, because I felt like I was hitting the ball so hard, hitting the ball just right at people. I mean,
Yeah, you were.
I led the league in opposite field exit velocity. But my batting average was still like 200 or something. I was like, this is a sick joke. It's a sick joke.
Sick.
Sick. Not cool. And
Not cool.
the first thing that I wanted to do was change my mechanics. I'm like, okay, well, I think a lot of pitchers are getting me out on the outside pitch. I want to be a little less spinny. I want to make sure I'm diving across the plate and going to get that outside pitch. I trust that my hands are quick enough to get to the inside. Analytics, film, mechanics, T work, hitting off the pitching machine, making sure I'm getting extra rounds of live BP in. All of that has its place, but I think at some point you've got to surrender to the slump. Like, acknowledge that you're in it, like surrender to it, don't try to resist it, don't try to like force yourself out of it. Let it be, like you said, like ride the wave. And once I kind of released that, that's when I ended up breaking out of it. And it was like, I'm pretty sure it was like a jam job, like over the second baseman's head that
That's all you
finally
need.
fell. It wasn't even like a rocket shot in the 5-6 hole. It was, you know, like at some point you're going to break out of it. And I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to being in slumps is like, just trust your stuff. You're fine. Don't overthink it. Part of the game, ride the wave and be a good teammate while you're in it too. Because the slump is a sign of your character. So you can either let
It
it develop
is.
you as a teammate, or you can let it absolutely break you down. And we've seen both sides of that in our careers. Just be a nice human when you're in a slump.
Don't snub your teammates when their hand is up, ready to give you a high five.
Don't do
Just
that.
don't do that. Don't do
No. Slump,
that.
yeah. Don't be a slumpy teammate. You can be a slumpy hitter. Don't be a slumpy teammate.
Well, I would love to add one piece, which I think is so important of what you said about the trust aspect, and also about you're talking about your outs last year were good, hard, solid contact. I think that's something that people and kids and parents and coaches fail to realize is you can walk away from the field 0 for 3 and not be in a slump and not be failing as a hitter. I use this as a lesson all the time. I remember we were playing a series at Santa Clara and we played doubleheaders on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, I was 0 for 6. I walked away from the field 0 for 6, feeling like it was the best day of hitting that I had that thus far in college because I had a home run robbed. I hit line drives to left, center, right. Just perfect contact every at bat, which you don't have days like that a lot.
No.
And I walked away 0 for 6. And I think that sometimes our players, kids, parents are looking at it and thinking, well, that day was a failure. And that is like you know,
Not
like
the
we would
case.
go back to the room and we're like, Halo, when are you going to catch a break? You're smoking the ball, right?
Exactly.
And I think that that's something that's really important to not take that and think I'm in a slump.
Yeah.
That is not a slump. So really, really differentiating between what that actually means for you as a hitter. And the other piece is Halo's game is on base, right? So you still, I think, led the league in walks. Like your approach at the plate, while frustrating for you in the hitting aspect, you were still doing things that were making you successful, but just things weren't falling. And so you you wrote it out, and then all of a sudden you get that little dribbler that drops, and you're like, she's back, baby.
The
She's
floodgates
back.
open. Yes,
100%.
that
So
happens.
that
So true.
differentiator, I think, is so important.
So true. So true. Quality at bats. Have quality at bats. It's not all about
Hit
the results.
the quab. Yeah.
Hit That's going on social media this week, folks.
I'm
Hit the
literally so
quab.
hip.
Hit the
Yeah,
quab.
I've never been more hip in my life. You're welcome.
Man. Yeah, that's
All
so
right.
lovely. That's
Good
amazing.
topic, Halo. That was
Great
good.
topic. I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
How about we get into some what's going on with the HPP and the national team this week?
Yeah.
We've
Let
got
us.
our first invites for the HPP National Selection event went out last Friday to 29 athletes from the Akron, Ohio identifier. Big shout out Akron. College
Yes.
Park, Maryland hosted 120 athletes on Sunday on the campus of the University of Maryland. Go Terps. Next event for the HPP is April 7th in Marietta, Georgia. For locations and dates for all other HPP identifiers, please visit hpp.usasoftball.com.
Amazing. That was well spoken, well said.
I love
Just
it. I don't
I
know.
love when they announce.
I don't know why the announcer voice continues to
It's the
come out.
dot com.
I think it
You
is the dot com. It
you're going through it, and then
feels like
it's
an dot com.
yes,
Oh
dot
my gosh.
com. It's the end of a
Insane.
commercial, you know. But
Yeah, I do feel that.
great stuff with HPP. It's nice to have the consistent identifiers, but now we got some Team USA news here. They just, if you guys didn't see this on the internet, they just announced, USA Softball announced the coaches for the women's national team. Head coach Heather Tarr, she's going into her third year at the helm, leading the team to the World Championship in Italy this summer. And the assistants named were Tim Walton, Jimmy Kleitas, and Kyla Hollis. So
Wow.
super exciting. The picture they posted was so awesome. I sent Jimmy a screenshot of himself and I said, this is your face when I ask you if a ball that bounces was a strike. And he said, yeah. Because he's
Great
like,
post. Love Jimmy. That's an
So
all-star staff. It's amazing.
it's yeah, it's good. It's, you know, it's well-rounded, and I think it's, you know, sounds gold, you know, sounds gold.
Sounds golden to me.
Team USA will have training camp in Oklahoma City, June 26th to July 1st, and then they'll have exhibition games against the Oklahoma City Spark, June 29th and 30th. This will be the second they'll have a second, sorry, I'm doing so, I need my announcer voice and my announcer reading. They'll have a second this summer, sending an elite team to Japan to compete in the Japan All-Star Series. They're scheduled to play Great Britain during camp prior to heading to Japan. So really exciting for the opportunity for people to wear a USA jersey and get that experience in international play, because we know it's different than domestic play.
It's so different. It's such a different
Yeah.
game, such a fun and exciting game, but different. So,
Yeah.
yeah, excited. World Championships are going to be in Italy in July, so that's going to be really,
Yes.
really amazing. And then it's always so fun to compete in Japan against Japan.
Yeah.
So
Man,
excited,
nothing
excited
like
for those
it.
rosters to be announced.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon. Go Eagles! Let's be world champs this summer, and
Let's.
let's build some momentum heading towards the 2028 Olympics. Sounds great.
Nothing like it.
Amazing.
What do we got going
Yes.
on this weekend, Halo?
Girl, I thought you'd never ask. So
Girl.
we got conference play starting this weekend. And Alabama and Florida kick
Oh,
off
good start.
SEC play. I personally love this. I've got a lot of friends that have worn the Gator uniform, most notably Kelsey Stewart, Aubrey Monroe, Michelle Moultrie. I could go on and on.
On and on.
Great. One of SEC softball's best rivalries, I think, because it's so respectable between Coach Walton and Coach Murphy, and there are so
Yeah.
similarities in the types of programs that they run. I'm excited. I'm interested to see how Alabama looks coming off the Arizona. They had two wins over Arizona this weekend, which I'm very excited about, but the loss against
Yeah.
South Alabama, just wondering how all of that is going to transition. Into
Yeah.
conference play. So,
Yeah. Yeah. You hope to see that it'll be like the push that they need to, like, we're going into conference. Let's, you know, have that
yeah.
little, maybe a little chip, and let's, you know, get right into it and win the games that we need to win and that we should be winning.
Yes. What are you most excited for this weekend?
I'm excited for just keep watching softball. Every weekend is just so exciting. I think I'm looking forward to LSU at Kentucky, because LSU being undefeated and Kentucky's played kind of a tough schedule, had some big wins, had some big losses. So I think it'll be a true testament to this is what preseason is all about, is getting you here, getting you to the start of conference, getting you to the road to Oklahoma City, you know? So I'm really excited to see how teams perform because it's different. It's different opening preseason and opening conference, you know,
Totally.
little nervy, little like, okay, this matters even more. Like I'm excited to see how a lot of these teams perform now that they're in getting to the point where they're playing conference games.
Totally. Second season.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's
Yeah.
gonna
Yeah,
be
it
a
really
great
is.
gonna be a great weekend.
It
Well,
really is.
we are very excited to have you guys listen to a very special conversation we had with our friend Montana Fouts is coming on
What
the
a
pod today.
gem.
She's amazing, wise beyond her years. So we're really excited for you
Yeah.
guys to hear this interview, and thank you guys for joining us.
At Higginbotham, we put people first. Our specialists are here to serve you, the people you care about, and your success. Insurance, HR, and financial services. Inspired by you.
All right, Banties, we have got an absolute treat joining us today on Base Hits and Banter presented by USA Softball. This queen, NFCA National Pitcher of the Year in 2021, Softball America Pitcher of the Year in 2023, a four-time All-American at the University of Alabama, Women's College World Series All-Tournament team, SEC Co-Pitcher of the Year. I could go on and on and on and on. She is Alabama's homecoming queen, the real homecoming queen. Is joining the pod. Ladies and gentlemen, Montana Fouts. Montana, welcome to the pod.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for the intro too. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I also want to mention we did confirm about 5 seconds ago before we hit the take that Montana is now a part of the outfield wall at Rhodes Stadium, which is it's really, really freaking cool. So congrats for that, Montana.
Yeah.
Thank
That's so
Thanks.
big time.
Absolutely awesome. Well, I would love if you could really just tell the people what you're up to. This is your first season out of college. And
Yeah.
I know like when I went through that like eons ago, it was a little bit of a change of, you know, you go you're every day in the grind with your teammates, you're in school, you're going to class, you're doing all these things. Like, what are you up to now?
Yeah, life's a lot different as far as like not all of those things, but I guess the past couple years I was lucky enough to do online courses, which was nice. So I was staying
Nice.
at home outside of the field. But lucky enough to still be playing. So still training, working out, doing all of those things, but more along the lines of also with the dream farm life, if that makes any sense. Like I'm digging, staying outside, being outside with the family a lot. Yeah, at school, I was lucky enough to also make a lot of great friends. So we still keep in touch, do a bunch of camps, lessons, all of the above. But I always find myself into something. I'm not staying bored, we'll say that.
Love to hear it. Yeah.
That's awesome. It's so cool because then, you know, especially like you said the last couple of years, so you've been kind of transitioning before you even came to the point where you're like, well, now what do I do?
Yeah. So I guess I don't want to say content, but I was actually talking about this with Ship, which was my catcher, and we graduated together, but we just gave everything we had for so long to the program. So it just kind of left. Thinking like Murph always said, leave it better than you found it. And that's how I felt like he left us. So I just felt really good with leaving and really hope that that's what the girls are doing now, which seems like they're doing great. So I'm really excited to follow along with them too.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, like, what's your impressions of the team so far? How do you feel? Because you were in that locker room last year, and I know it's kind of weird, but like, I'm assuming you've been watching. Do you have any plans to go to Tuscaloosa? What have you seen from the team so far?
Oh gosh, I'm fired up watching them, to be honest with you. I actually just got done texting a few of the girls that I'm still really great friends with, and we're already making plans for this summer to go hang out with each other. But I plan on going next weekend when they play Florida because that'll be a great series. Wait, does that mean that you're going to be
Nice.
there?
No, I wish. Dang
Man,
it.
I
I
was thinking the
wish.
same thing, Tana. I'm like, she
Yeah,
looks real
right?
pumped.
Yeah, but
Well,
no, it'll be a great series.
Alabama's gonna sweep, so that's why I'm excited.
Yeah, no, I'm pumped. It's going to be so much fun. But they've been killing it. So, and they deserve it because they've, I mean, the leadership that they have and then everybody else that's on the team, there's great followers, which people don't talk about. You have to have just great people to be able to follow and lead. And they've got all of the above. So their chemistry looks like it's popping.
It really does. They still, yeah. They like haven't lost yet. So that part's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I love it. They just keep going all the way till June.
Damn. That's the goal. Montana, I would love for you to touch on, you know, you've had such an incredible career. And I mean, in my personal opinion, you're just at the beginning. Being at a school like Alabama, where Alabama is what, you know, Tuscaloosa is all into, the softball program has a rich history in, you know, being great and producing great talent. How did you balance kind of the, maybe the pressure or expectations of being as talented of a pitcher as you are, while also being kind of almost like the center of attention in a town that is very much a college town?
Yeah, I felt like I just kind of had the perspective. I was just really lucky and fortunate to be in the situation, and not so much like, oh, this is really pressure filled. Just more of like, I'm grateful to be here and to be a part of that. And I guess that you see whenever you have so many friends that are in different situations at different schools, like they're, I don't know, jealous isn't a good word, but they're like, wow, like what you have going on at Alabama is such a great thing. Like everybody loves softball. Like we fill out stadiums every weekend. Like we're just trying to get 10 people to show up. So I guess it's more of like, how do we get that across the board and not just to Alabama, and just realizing that we're just really grateful to be that. So I guess it was more of just that kind of perspective that helped a lot.
I really love that. Attitude of gratitude, right? Like Murph drills it down our throats like all the time. It's like you can be in tough situations, great situations, whatever, but if you have an attitude of gratitude, like that's what's going to carry you through. So that's really awesome. It's cool to know, like from my perspective, that not much has changed with the program since I left, which is awesome. And I think it speaks to the leadership of you, Montana, but also like everybody that's been there this whole time. And you can see it, like you can see it resonate, you know, on the field. I wanted to ask you, you were someone that when I watched, we never got the chance to play together at Alabama, but being with you on the national team, you can see that gratitude kind of come through you when you're on the mound, but there's also this really competitive, like feisty, give me the freaking ball, I don't care what the situation is type of attitude as well. And I think you balance that so gracefully. Can you talk a little bit about what your mindset is in the circle? Because I know we have a lot of young kids that listen to this, and kids that I work with, and Sam, we've had this conversation too. It's so hard to get competitiveness out of kids sometimes, and it's hard for kids to want to be aggressive, but you like are the standard in my opinion. So can you just share a little bit about what your mindset is when it comes to being in the circle?
Yeah. So I guess a couple different things. First, I would just say like finding like a balance between playing free, like practicing so hard that you just go out there and just play, which I know is easier said than done. Mm-hmm. And then realizing like softball is just what I do for fun. It's not who I am. It's just what I do. And then with that being said, like know that you can be really good at it. You know, like how much fun would it be just to be the best? Like just give everything you have. Like it's not your identity, but like just be the best. Like do whatever you can do to just go out there and just have fun. Like what is it that motivates you? And I've actually thought about that a lot. And I guess it can go anywhere from like people sacrificing stuff for me, teammates. Like I love the game, but then like I love when people have to run back to the dugout. Like I love striking people out. So it's like finding what makes my heart pump a little bit more. And that's just one of the things. Like I love just being a part of a team that dominates, or like if there's a ball that is made contact, right? Like you're going to catch it. Like you're going to dive. That fires me up. So it's like finding what it is that motivates you with a balance of like, okay, this is my job. This is what I do for fun, but I'm going to still go home. I'm going to be the best dog mom in the world. I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to have my coffee, and then I'm going to do those things. But that's not who I am. So I guess it's just finding the difference in that.
I love that.
I know we're all in three different states, but I'm thinking we meet up, we go to a ball field right now, because that was how fun How fun would it be to be the best at something? Are you kidding me, Montana? That is, I'm gonna get that tattooed.
That's phenomenal perspective, because
it is
so often it's like, I've never thought about it that way. Like, why are you afraid to be the best at something? Why are you afraid to put yourself out there? Like, just be fearless. Go be the best. I'm going to get that tattooed on my body.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go together.
I'll go.
Round us all up. It's going to be great.
Amazing.
I think we've talked, like Halo touched on this, that we've talked about this before, is just that grit, you know, like that grit just comes naturally to some athletes. And we've seen it. I mean, you can tell that you love striking people out. It makes me sitting on the couch watching you be like, man, she got me. I'm not even in there, you know? And seeing how fired up you get for your teammates, I think is really huge, because being a pitcher, like we said, so much falls on your shoulders. And I would love to touch a little bit on what you had to go through dealing with an injury and kind of going into a different role of, versus, you know, you on the mound and you high-fiving your teammates and you shouting out to your center fielder, that kind of role to shoot. I'm not out there. Especially seeing Jordy Ball going down just within the last few weeks with a knee injury and, you know, everything that happened and what you had to deal with. I would love to just see how you channeled that perspective into maybe a different role as a teammate.
Yeah. I would say that sending my prayers out to Jordy, because I know that's not
easy
to go through, and I know her team's feeling it. But I would say from that perspective, I guess it falls along the lines of everything else. Like, I knew that going into that year, I needed, through the injury, to just have the same perspective as I had as a leader on the team, is like, it's not about me. It's not about me whatsoever. And I guess still goes along the lines of like being like the center of attention, like even if it's a positive or negative thing, like it's not about you. You play a team sport. It's like, what can you do for somebody else and to help benefit the team? So I knew that if I just sulked, which I gave myself 2 days, right? The team was there for me. And unfortunately, we were at the SEC tournament. And fortunately, like, they won that game and were able to move on. And we had 24 hours, right? 24 hours to get over it, because I really wanted to be a part of the team that got a ring at the end, because no matter what your role is, your ring's still the same size, right? So what is it that I could give? And I have great teammates that have done the same all season long that people don't see, right? Like, they're on the bench because they're hurt. And they just were a great inspiration, just because we were in rehab together and people don't even know that they're in rehab. Right. It's like they're working their butts off to try to get back on the field. So that's the least thing that I can do for the team, is just do whatever it takes. But I know that I'm going to be a great teammate. And if I need to get in somebody's face or hug you because you're crying, or we need to go talk in the dugout, that's what I'm going to do until I can get back out there. And so just, I guess, doing whatever your role is at the time, 100% of your capability, and then see where the rest lay, for sure.
Yeah. But, and I think what's so important, obviously, that was just a beautiful, like, I would read that book if you turned that into a book, that whole answer. But what you said about giving yourself a second to sulk, like, I think that that's so important to say, this sucks. And then allow yourself to be real and then go out and do what you got to do. So I love that, because there's people out there that have injuries, have never dealt with injuries, and don't know how. And a lot of it is mental. And I mean, it's obviously physical, but that mental aspect of like, yeah, you know what, acknowledge what it is and then go out and do what you got to do.
Yeah. I would say it would be silly to not like give yourself a second, because you love the game so much, right? Like, you love it. You put everything into it. And of course we want to be like stone cold out there on the mound, but at the end of the day, you give your life to something. It's like, okay, I'm allowed to have 24 hours. Right. And I was in a great spot because Murph and everybody was there for me. I mean, obviously it was sad vibes in the hotel that evening, but then it's like, we get up. All right. Well, we woke up. All right. I obviously am not able to play today, but the perspective, like, I get to just put on the uniform is great news for me today. So I think it's like, okay, if I can get past an injury when other people have got a lot worse things going on, then I think I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. That's amazing. Were there any other tangible steps that you took that you were intentional about besides, you know, leaning on your teammates, besides like having that attitude of gratitude? Was there anything else that you tangibly did to get into that mindset? Because it's easier said than done, right? To wake up and just be grateful and put things in perspective. How, like, tell the Bantees, like, what was it that you actually did to allow yourself to get into that mindset?
I would say the biggest thing that you can do, and this doesn't even have to be injury related, but don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, I found myself always, and I'm not perfect as the part of like having good perspective, because there were still times like before regionals when I was like, I don't know if I can play, where it was like, all right, well, selfishly, like, I want to play. Like, I want to be there. I want to be there for the team. Like, we talk about competitive. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how can I ask mental help for stuff like that? Like, what we have, Dr. McCabe is there, and he actually just spoke to the team. I saw a video, but
I love him.
Talked to him since my freshman year, and I just found him, me texting him at like midnight, being like, hey, this is what I'm thinking right now. Like, what do you think? How can I be in a better headspace so that way I can be everything that I can be? Or, you know, with athletic trainers, doctors, just being completely honest with them and yourself on like what you're actually feeling and thinking, because your body's going to do whatever your mind tells it to do. So I knew that if my mind was in a good or a bad place, then my body's going to be in a bad place. So just trying to put not just my body in the right spot, but what I could do mentally to be there.
It's beautiful. It's adding a level of toughness of being vulnerable, because I know, like you said, you want to be a dog out there. You want to be ice cold, but if there's something going on, being able, like, there's strength and vulnerability, like, hey doc, like, this actually really hurts, or something like that, to take the right steps to then get better versus maybe avoiding it or putting it off. And speaking, I speak from experience where I'm like, my shoulder doesn't hurt that bad. And then, oh, you can't brush your own hair. Like, let's be real, you know? So having the aspect of vulnerability equals strength and toughness, and then getting you on the right path to, you know, being healthy and getting better mentally, physically, all of it.
Yeah. And I think it's a cool story for you, Montana, too, because not long after you experienced this injury, you got to compete for a world championship in Birmingham in front of all of the Alabama fans. Can you talk a little bit about that experience and how impactful that year on the national team was for you? Because I personally was absolutely giddy to be playing behind you in Birmingham at the Hoover Met. Like, it was one of the coolest moments, I think, of my entire softball career. So I'd love to know, like, what your perspective was and how you felt about it.
Oh my gosh, that was like playing like a home game, it felt like, with like the best three letters I could wear across my chest. I couldn't even imagine, or couldn't even begin to explain what I was feeling during all that, because not only was I getting to play with you, but we were playing a home game, Murph's in the stands with the rest of my precious staff that I love so much, that they just make the world go round.
Yeah.
And my family was there, your family was there. It was like, I'm getting to do an interview with Halo. It's like, how freaking awesome is that? Just like to be on the same field as you. And I'm not saying this because you're here, but it's like, we talk about the competitiveness. I found myself at school all the time talking to people and like in a competitive way. And they're like, all right, I wish that you would have been able to be teammates with Halo. Like, how awesome would that have been? And it's like, now I get to. Yeah. So I'm just really grateful that I got to do that and be a part of that team with you. So that was really awesome. And I can't wait. I don't know when the World Games is going to be in Birmingham again, but we got to make sure that we're there. For sure.
We got to keep USA Softball in the state of Alabama, because clearly the people love it. Won gold. We beat Japan. Like, it was a whole thing. Like, it was a really cool, just really cool moment. Can you talk a little bit about, too, just as a follow-up to that? We had Ali Carta on last week, and I know you guys got to work together on that staff. And, you know, can you talk a little bit about Ali and what those bullpen sessions were like and her leadership and how that's maybe impacted you on an international level?
I feel like working with her has impacted me in every aspect, not just internationally, because I don't remember the first year that I was able to just listen to her. I don't remember even if we were on the same team. Like, it was probably me just training with y'all at this point, and just watching her work her bullpens. And she was just so helpful, like, from day one. Like, anything, like, any question I had, however annoying I was, she was just answering them and wanting to be the best leader. And I wasn't even a part of the team. So right then and there, she earned my respect, other than her just being one of the best pitchers to ever play the game. And just listening to her talk shop, like, I'm a huge Allie Carter fan. So everything that she posts, I'm like, how can I get better? Because she's going to help me. I know she will. Mm-hmm. She's going to want to be on the same team, which I think is just a huge characteristic that is making her who she is. So I'm a huge, huge fan. And she's impacted not just me internationally, but my career. So I'm grateful for her.
So sweet. I know. She really is great. And I think Allie too, you know, like what you've been touching on about perspective and mindset and stuff. She's man, like you said, what she posts, I'm like, I like drink it up. I'm like, yes, I'm going to, you know, implement this into my life because it's going to make me better.
Yeah. If it can make me like Allie, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. 100%.
Get up.
You go, Halo. I was going to change the subject. You go.
I was just going to say, it's so cool to like just peek behind the curtain of what makes a great pitcher a great pitcher, because there's like, I'm out in the outfield grass, right? Like, I've got my space. I've got my time. Like, I can be a little internal with my emotions. The camera's not always on me. You guys don't have that luxury. So to peek back behind the curtain and like just hear what goes on, hear the perspectives, hear how you guys are like, the pitchers and catchers almost are like a team within the team. It's just really, really cool to hear and inspiring from the grass from afar. So,
well, we appreciate y'all that are in the grass, making all the catches and making us better. So we appreciate
Gladly.
It's so tough as a hitter when you're like, gosh, this girl is just so amazing. Like when you're in the box, like failing against them, you're like, honestly, I'm so proud of you. Like,
yeah.
It's so great.
You can't break her.
Yeah.
You can't break
it. You don't want to. Yeah.
You don't wanna.
Yeah. Honestly, keep hiking that rise wall up and up. I'm here to see it, you know? Yeah. Just love that.
Yeah. Keep climbing that ladder.
I was gonna ask Montana, who were some people, like, as you were growing up, who were some people that inspired you? It could be a softball player, could be an athlete in general, or just people from your life. Like, where did you pull some of your inspiration from to get you to be where you're at now?
Well, first I would say non-softball would just be my family. So I'm a sibling. I have three other siblings. I'm the oldest and they're like my little best friends. We always didn't get along, but I would definitely say a lot of my motivation comes from them and my parents. But softball wise, I would say, I mean, I have to go Jenny Finch, right?
Duh. Yeah.
I mean, how can I not? Right. Duh. She's just, I love how obviously talented she is, but she's just a great person. I love the way that whenever you bring her up, everybody's like, oh, she's the best person. Like, they don't even talk about her playing all the time. Her, I mean, the Lisa Fernandez, I mean, Kat, Monica, Allie, like, I looked up to them growing up when I was playing. And just the fact that I got to wear the uniform at the same time as some of them is just crazy to me still. And I'll always look up to them because, I mean, gratefully, social media has been awesome to where we can still follow along with them and what they're doing. So again, anything Jenny posts, I'm like eating this up. I'm like, Mom, did you see Jenny posted this? Like, look at her and her kids. So just, yeah, I would say all of them has impacted me.
That's amazing.
I kind of was hoping you were going to say Jenny because she is someone who taught me a lot about grit, like at the end of the day, because when you look at Jenny is beautiful and just, she's so sweet and she's very like, she's kind and, you know, you relate some of these things, not always to grittiness, fire, but when she is on the field and when she talks about how to prepare, how to compete there, I like grit. You look in the dictionary and you're like, all right, how do I be a competitor? Oh, there's Jenny. Mm-hmm. And I think what's really cool about that is you obviously now, like you brought up social media, like we're in a day and age where there's, you know, a lot of emphasis placed, especially like on how you look, how you appear and all that. And you've held yourself, like Halo said, like with such grace, you're amazing. You're beautiful. You carry yourself, you're kind hearted and stuff. And like the fire within you, it just comes out of your body. So I think that when you said Jenny, I was like, I wonder, because you emulate her in that fashion, which I hope is a compliment that you're like so beautiful and sweet, but like a freaking dog, you know?
Yes.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. No, you're making me blush. Don't do it.
I will not stop.
amazing.
That's so awesome. Well, Tana, as we wrap up, I would love to get your just best piece of advice. If you could give any advice to your younger self, what would you say?
There's so many things, which makes it hard to answer, but I would say the first is, like, you play a game. If you're going to love softball and you want to be the best at softball, you are going to fail. Like, no matter how competitive you are, no matter how hard you work, you are going to fail. Even if it's 1 out of 10 times, it always feels like the one is like the most important moment sometimes. Like, you're going to fail. It's about not that, it's about how you respond to it. So be a great teammate, be a good person, because people are not going to remember exactly what you do on the field every time, but they're going to remember how you made them feel. So be a good person, be a great teammate, work your butt off, but you're still going to fail. So it's about how you respond to that. I was actually just talking about it the other day with somebody. People just don't remember. So it's almost to the point where it's like, nobody cares, you know, like, they really don't. And we're talking about the knee injury and the game. It was a super regional game that sent us to the World Series. Like, I was just lucky enough to be out there. Okay. And everybody talks about, like, the last picture, the strikeout, like, that fire emotion. But nobody remembers that a girl hit a home run off of me, like, two pitches before that. Too bad. The same inning. Nobody remembers that because nobody cares.
Yeah.
So it's like, in the moment, I was thinking, all right, nobody's going to remember this because we're going to win this game. I don't care. We don't care. Nobody on this field cares. Nobody in the stand cares, because they're just going to remember us winning this. And if we lose, we're going to give everything we have. And then in 10 years, we're just going to talk about how awesome of a teammate we were to each other. So at the end of the day, it's just who you are as a person. And you need to stick to that, because softball is just kind of like a roller coaster sometimes. So you just got to be first one in line, baby. That's it.
My body is covered in goosebumps.
Amazing.
Like, oh my gosh. It's a first in line. That's our next tattoo.
First in line.
First in line.
Good. I'm writing it down right now in my journal.
That's so cool, Montana. And I mean, we're obviously such big fans of you. You know, did so much at Alabama. And like I said, you can have as long of a career as you want to have. And I think that's something that's really cool, in that we're obviously getting to a point where we're talking about the growth of softball a lot, right? Like, to a point where we can say that, like, I can see Montana in 10 years still throwing it, still striking people out. Mm-hmm. And you've really set yourself up for success, not only with your talent and your work ethic, but also what you are as a teammate, and you know, the way that you speak about your teammates and the way that you carry yourself. So I hope you know, and I hope that you understand how appreciated those things are in the game that we're trying to grow, that you're part of trying to grow. And it goes really, really far. So it's been a pleasure to watch you thus far. And I truly, like, I can't wait to keep seeing what happens, you know.
Thank you. I'm grateful for the opportunity to play. And thank you all for having me. It's an honor. I can't even believe when y'all texted me in the group chat, I was like, this might be the coolest group chat I've ever been a part of. So
we're gonna keep it up. We're going to keep it up.
Listen, and we're all going to have matching shirts and matching tattoos. And, you know, what else can you wish for out of a group chat?
Yeah.
We're just the three best friends anyone could have.
We're committed.
We're all in. We're first in line, baby.
First in line. Well, Montana, thank you so much for hopping on with us today. I'll steal a Murph saying that the best is yet to come for you for this game, and we just appreciate everything that you're doing. So thanks for spending some time with us and becoming an official Bantee.
Yes ma'am. Well, thank you guys. I can't wait to rep. Yeah, the best is yet to come. That's right.
That's right. I can't wait
to wear one of those.
Amen.
All right, you guys, I mean, Montana Fouts, that's all you need to say. She's beauty, she's grace, she's Miss United States, if you will.
I have nothing to add to that. I think that was
no notes. Thanks for joining us again this week. We also want to thank the USA Softball Store, you know, for hyping us up, for getting us right. And if you guys want to dress like us, the fashion icons that you know and love, you can visit the softball store. It's usasoftballstore.com.
And use code BHB15 for 15% off your entire purchase. Now, I don't know about you, Halo, but I love me a deal.
Absolutely.
So I'm always looking for those codes. But yeah, another great week, Halo. Another great week in the books.
Another great week. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Make sure you're following along USA Softball on all of the social media channels. Check us out on YouTube. Keep listening. Make sure you're subscribed. And we'll catch you later, all you know. Banties.
You know, bye-bye, Banties.
Foaming at the mouth.
Team USA has brought me opportunities that I never thought I would have before, and I'm super humbled to be able to represent my country.
There's so much talent in the United States playing softball right now, and we want to see the game continue to grow and prosper and develop.
I want to develop not just men, but women's softball as well.
I want to see more girls like me playing this sport.
I just hope one day that I could be somewhat mentioned, like a Natasha Watley, to help this game.
I just remember like watching everyone like in the Olympics, like, and you guys just representing this country. And for me playing USA softball, like I just want to do the same.